Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. We get to spend this with Father Paul Kramer, who has gotten up at the middle of the night in Ireland. And I really want to thank you. Thank you, Father Kramer, for getting up. It's not easy, but you have a worldwide audience here, and they will appreciate it as much as I do, I'm sure. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to be back again. Yes, I'm just keeping warm on a very cold night for early spring. But
it's cold,
otherwise,
huh?
Yeah, it's cold tonight, but keeping warm in the house.
Good. Stay indoors. I recommend that. Stay inside. Yes. Okay. How cold is it? Just for fun.
Well, it's only minus one centigrade degree, so that's like 31 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, you're below freezing. Yeah, okay.
We're below freezing.
That's cold. Yeah, that's cold. All right. Now, since we last talked, a lot has happened. I don't know what's happened inside the Vatican, inside the church. You have an ear into most all the corners there. I did get an email that I forwarded on to you, and I'm not sure if we even want to read that or comment on it, but it was of some interest. I don't know if it's correct or not, but I can read that if you want, and then you can comment on it, or you can just take it any way you want and just go where you'd like to go. Is it worth reading, or is it that far off?
It's something I can easily debunk.
Okay, you want me to read it? Then you just
you can read it, and I will deal with it.
Very good. All right. I don't know how to pronounce the gentleman's name, but that's irrelevant. It's about the Fatima Secret. Part three, Mr. Jeff Rentz. I listened to your show with the Catholic priest Paul Kramer regarding the secret number three of Fatima. Our national Nahuati tradition is related to that secret three, and this was made known to us by, I think he's Malik, I don't know what it is, I can't pronounce that one, but it doesn't matter. Made known to us by someone. You may want to talk with him. Our source is not a fraud like David Booth, who was on your show, I might add, 15 or 20 years ago. The Fatima Secret 3 has two parts. Father Kramer covered the Catholic Church part, but the other part he didn't fully present, which includes the possible permanent loss of Earth to support any life. That's called an ELE over here, Father Kramer, an extinction level event. Was that or was that not part of the third part of the Fatima prophecy?
It most definitely was not part of any part of the Fatima prophecy. It's nowhere to be found in the message of Fatima, not in the first part of the secret, not in the second part of the secret, and not in either the first or second part of the third secret. It's simply not there. Our Lady of Fatima does not speak of the extinction of life or the possibility of supporting life on Earth. In fact, the second part of the secret ends, it's been published for many, many years, where she says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me. Russia will be converted, and a period of peace will be given to the world. So the human race is going to survive, at least some percentage of the human race is going to survive, and there's going to be a wonderful period of human history where humanity is going to live in peace. So we're not talking about a scenario of global extinction, not at all.
Okay.
It's nowhere to be found in the secret of Fatima.
Very good. Enough said right there. End of story. Period. Done. Okay. So whoever sent that in, thank you for sending it in. We've presented it, and that is Father Kramer's analysis. Anything you wish to add, go right ahead.
Then there's the other side of the coin, which is Our Lady of Fatima warned that if people do not observe the law of God, if they continue rebelling against God, then there are going to be punishments. There's going to be war. There's going to be global famine. There's going to be a persecution of the church, and persecution of religion in general. There's going to be entire nations will be annihilated. There's going to be in the third secret of Fatima, Malachi Martin, of course, who received the text of the secret from Cardinal Bea, says that in the secret there will be World War III. There will be a world war. There will be epidemics. There will be pandemics that will exterminate nations even. And it was Cardinal Ratzinger, who presently the Pope Benedict XVI, who said that the secret, what is in the secret, corresponds with what is revealed in other Marian apparitions. One that I often quote because it's highly credible are the messages of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Blessed Elena Aiello. She died in 1961. She was born in the 1800s and died in 1961. She was very highly esteemed by Pope Pius XII. And one of the last things that Pope Benedict did before he retired was that he beatified Elena Aiello, Sister Elena Aiello. So she's Blessed Elena Aiello. And she speaks of extermination of up to one-fourth of the human race.
What year was this approximately, Father Kramer, that Sister Aiello was making these statements?
I don't remember exactly. It was in the 1950s that this particular revelation was made in the 1950s. I sent it to you in an email. The year is there, but I don't remember the exact year, but it was the 1950s.
1959,
yeah. 2 years before she died.
Yes, she lived from 1895 to 1961, beatified by Pope Benedict the 16th. Very interesting, this. Did she...
I'll just add, in support of that, Pope John Paul II in Fulda in 1980 spoke of the third secret, mentioning that... the oceans would inundate entire continents, and millions will die from one moment to the next.
Who said this?
Pope John Paul II in Fulda.
John Paul, did he have a vision? Is that where he got that?
No, he got that from the text, from reading the third secret.
Ah, all right. Now, we've just covered an awful lot of ground very quickly. Let me just back up a little bit. Prophetic revelation of the Virgin Mary to Blessed Elena Aiello, who has been beatified since by Pope Benedict XVI, who is, I believe, still a prisoner in the Vatican as we speak, correct?
Effectively, yes, he's a prisoner. He doesn't have prison guards, but even as Pope, he made a comment to a bishop saying that his freedom ends at the door.
Got it. Okay. Well, there's some real bad hanky-panky going on in the Vatican, for those of you who did not know. Badoglio from Argentina is a fraud. Those are my words, not necessarily Father Kramer's words. But what we had was an overthrow of Pope Benedict XVI and his effective imprisonment. He's been held prisoner for eight years now, is it?
Since 2013.
Well, 8 and 3 used to be 1, so we'll call it 9 now. I'll give him another one. This is not a good situation there. Pope, the alleged Pope, Badoglio, is not a good man. He's representative of the dark force, the dark side. That's what I get from studying this and from talking with Father Kramer. Am I on the right path with that statement?
Oh yes, there are reams of data that strongly support that position. He is entirely in with the globalists.
Yes. He's a dupe. He's an agent of the international global elite, or whatever you want to call them, who are clearly satanic in their general relationship to this planet and its people. We are being culled. Now, let me go back to what the Blessed Elena Aiello said, according to a revelation from the Virgin Mary. If you can restate what she said was going to happen, the vision that she got, the revelation from the Virgin Mary, what did Beatified Elena Aiello say was going to happen now?
I don't have the text in front of me. Because
well, you mentioned World War III, or was that Pope John Paul II?
Rather than just focus on that one particular message of that particular day in 1959, I read the entire book when I had it. I bought the book in Italy. I read it in the original Italian, and I read through that book several times. So even though it's been decades since I read it, I do remember quite clearly what she foretold. In the messages that she received from the Virgin Mary. And she foretold that there will be a sudden outbreak of World War III, that there would be, on the one hand, from Russia, there would be the World War would break out from east to west, that Russia would overrun all of Europe. Russia would invade all of Europe, but either at the same time or slightly before that, you will have an Arab invasion from the south, invading the south of Europe, and you may have Russia invading as a response to the Arab invasion of Europe. In either case, it would be either simultaneous, or the jihad would begin first, slightly before.
Understood. All right. Well, in the south of Russia are many Arab-speaking peoples. I think some of you out there know that. And what Father Kramer has just iterated fits perfectly with the scenario we're looking at right now. In other words, if it were ever going to happen, that Russia would move west into Europe to try to secure some peace from NATO continually building up weapons systems, massive armies right on its border, it would be now. And I'm not surprised to hear that, although when you go back to the time frame, 1959, that makes it doubly remarkable. That's 70 years ago, something like that, 60 years ago. So there we go. Famine. Yes, there is more and more talk about famine around the world, Father Kramer, as you well know. Here in the U.S., and it looks all contrived to me for the most part, they have obviously engineered the weather for years and years and caused massive crop failures here in this country and other places. Now we have an alleged outbreak of avian influenza in the U.S., and I think five more states were added to the number of states today. They are culling tens of millions of chickens. That means loss of eggs, loss of meat. We're already seeing shortages show up here, so the famine aspect is addressed. We can see that. World War III? Yes. Thermonuclear weapons? Maybe tactical nukes? I don't know. But it's all there. All the ingredients of this terrible soup are in the pot. And it doesn't look good right now.
the NATO countries are acting in such a manner that is, as it were, designed to provoke war with Russia.
Precisely.
Yes. Russia, for a long time, has been ready for a confrontation with the West. There has been a predatory approach of the Western countries toward Russia ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union, and already for decades now, the two most heavily military fortified regions of the world are Kaliningrad. In the extreme west of Russia, which is actually geographically separated from the Russian mainland.
Yes. Surrounded by other countries. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. And that is a reminder to the West of what could happen if they go to war with Russia. And then in Mozduk, which is in the Caucasus, and that is... To remind the Islamic countries that if they're going to go on the warpath, make a wage of jihad, that they had better not go north into Russia. That if they're going to wage jihad, they better go westward, but not to the north, because they're up against the most heavily fortified region of the world, the most heavily armed fortification in the world. There in with Mozduk along with Kaliningrad, so they are ready for a war if a war is going to happen, and that war is being provoked. The Blessed Virgin Mary did reveal to Blessed Elena Aiello that Russia would wage war on America with secret weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I recall recently there were American ships in the Black Sea, and when Russian planes were flying by, all the electronic equipment on the American ships went dead.
I'll tell you exactly what that was. That happened about, must be 3 years ago now, maybe four. It was the USS Donald Cook, otherwise known as the USS Donald Duck by many. But it was a fully new, state-of-the-art U.S. Navy destroyer. And as the single Russian jet fighter flew adjacent to the USS Donald Cook, every bit of the electronics on that ship went silent, dead, out. It's like somebody threw a switch. The plane made a pass or two. The pilot came close enough to where they could actually see him waving or saluting, and he flew off, and the electronics came back on as if someone threw the switch the other way. So, yes, I know precisely what you're talking about. Those are remarkable weapons, and it is believed that the Russians have far more than hypersonic missiles, cruise missiles, and other things, that being one of them. So imagine if Vladimir Putin took his gloves off and really went to town with the technology that they obviously have and demonstrated quite clearly there. All ships, all planes, the electronics would go out, the planes would fall, the ships would sit there floating in the water, sitting ducks. No tactical moves on the ground could be carried out because there would be no communications. It's like an EMP burst without the EMP burst. There's something else they have, and they've demonstrated it. That was not a joke. That was a very big signal that you mentioned. So thank you for that.
Yes, it's. It reminds me, the West is behaving like that. Very smart individual who picked a fight with Mike Tyson some years ago, and got himself very badly beaten. The West is just taking a stance. It reminds me of the First World War, the war propaganda. Rather than look for a solution, rather than listen to both sides and try to come to a reasonable arrangement for peace, the answer that we get, the response we get from the West is to go on the warpath, aggression, support.
Have you, Father Kramer? You're right. And let me excuse the interruption. Have you seen one statement from the West, NATO or the U.S., its controllers, about disengagement, about mitigating the intensity of the situation, about peace? No, not one word. It's all about confrontation, about hostility, about, look at Biden, the brain-dead walking cadaver, calling Putin a butcher, and this man must be thrown out of office. Oh, they're talking about an overthrow of a government. So, no, there's nothing being said or spoken on the Western side of the table that would lead me to believe that they want anything but war.
It's like the build-up to World War One, where in France and England, no orchestra would play any German music of any. No music could be performed of any German composer. Now they're banning the performance of Russian music. So as if Tchaikovsky is a criminal or something, because you can't even hear Tchaikovsky now. This is madness. Now, and the war propaganda is crass. I mean, it's really absurd. The one-sidedness of the reports. I just read a report from an Italian news agency that was posted yesterday. It's in the Italian language, and yeah, you won't see this in any of the English language outlets. All the Russian news services are banned, and Mariupol, the local people, the Ukrainian people, are talking about how this, I think it's called the Azov division.
Correct.
Terrorizing, shooting at the local population.
As they're trying to walk to freedom, they have been shot at. There have been reported rapes, murders, horrific behaviors by the Azov battalion, or whatever you want to call it. Yes, correct.
And I'm watching the video. I'm listening to the Ukrainian people, the residents of that city, talk about the ordeal they've been subjected to by this Azov regiment.
All right. Exactly. Yep.
Where in the West are we hearing reports about what's happening in Ukraine? We're getting a very one-sided. It reminds me of the war between China and Vietnam. I remember I was in the Philippines at the time and listening to shortwave radio, listening to the Chinese radio broadcast and listening to the Vietnamese, and it was like one side is black, the other is white, and total opposite stories coming from each side, and that's what we're getting out from the Western propaganda now. It's as crass as the Chinese propaganda during their war with Vietnam back in the 1970s.
That's a good analogy, a good parallel. You're right. I have never seen more overt lying and fabrication be exposed. And I'm talking about the news that the Ukraine alleged government has been releasing, using everything from video games to claim that they're actually out there digitally filming jets being shot down. I mean, you've all seen the stories. I've run several of them. It's just an astonishing amount of lying, and the news is being perverted. It's the same thing as World War One. I think your point is extremely important to take and consider. This is a replay. History repeats. The war is being forced on Russia. Russia was obviously forced to invade Ukraine to stop the massive slaughter in the Donbass. There were 140,000 Ukrainian troops, many of which are still there on the line of separation between Donbass, the LPR, and the DPR. And they're there, and they were about to invade. And the day before was when Russia launched its invasion, to stop and freeze that 140,000 troops from moving east into the Donbass area. It would have been horrible. So There you go. Forced into it.
That's right. And this has been planned. There has been long-term planning to provoke a war between Russia and the West, because it fits into the plan to create order from chaos and set up the new world order.
Totally correct. Can you imagine the Western propaganda maestros that are at work for the alleged Ukrainian government cranking this fake news out nonstop? And yet, in the meantime, the Ukraine army, and there are some brave, dedicated, patriotic Ukrainians in it, but there are also in the Ukraine military Muslim killers who have been imported from some of the Muslim republics and countries in nearby regions, fighting alongside with the Azov Battalion and others. These are killers. These are not good people. So we have a situation there that can only really end up one way. No one's talking peace. Oh, they may be talking at each other, but I think you're right. This planning has been done a long time ago, and it's being acted out. Russia is being forced into war. Now, there could be a false flag at any time, Father Kramer, as you well know, to force Russia to become fully nuclear in its aggression, to protect itself. There could be a bomb lit off by the West, by NATO, and then blamed on the Russians. They could sacrifice a city somewhere in NATO territory and say the Russians did it, which is typical. It's the Gulf of Tonkin. This is an old military strategy. The bottom line is anything can happen. So be ready, be prepared, and don't exclude anything, because it's all on the table.
And we have to bear in mind that there has been a situation in the Middle East for a long time. Syria has been supported by Russia. So
yes.
Events.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Events in Syria could provoke a war between Russia and the West, and a false flag there involving Russia could set off a third world war.
I frankly expect it. I'm almost past the point of using the word could. It's too obvious. There's just nothing being said by NATO or the West that points toward peace. Nothing.
That's because at the commanding heights, those people who dictate foreign policy to governments, and governments are just management agencies the powers that rule the world, they have decreed that there must be war.
You can say that again if you'd like. I'll say it for you. The commanders, the commanding agencies, so to speak, of the West, NATO, the U.S., have decided and decreed that there will be a war. Look at the behaviors you see. Read between the lines on the alleged news and you'll understand. There's nothing being done to de-escalate this situation. Nothing. And they continue to poke the bear. And eventually the bear will defend itself. Remember the prophet Edgar Cayce, Father Kramer? You know about Edgar Cayce,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, he said in 1929 or 1930 that one day Russia would be the Christian light to the world. He said that. 1930. Let's just round it off. And I don't know how many churches have been built. What's that?
That's in the message of Fatima. That's in the third secret of Fatima. And it's also alluded to in the secret of La Salette. Russia will be the instrument of conversion and peace throughout the whole world. There's no doubt about that.
I don't know how many, but it's some extraordinary amount of number of churches have been built in Russia in the last four or five years. I think it's like 50,000, some huge number. Russia is a Christian nation, Eastern Orthodox, whatever. But look at the West. What is the West now? Is the West a Christian West, really? What do you see in the West beside decadence, immorality, destruction, unbridled greed? I'm not saying there aren't greedy people in Russia. There are. Greed is a human frailty. It's everywhere. However, the West seems to be completely overridden with it, hegemonized. I've never seen more greed and lust for power than I'm seeing now. And I look in my own country and I see it, and I'm ashamed. But the people no longer here, Father Kramer, have the ability or the understanding to really do anything about it. The media is controlled. The media is their informer. The media is their mind controller. The media is socially engineering this, what's left of this culture, around the clock. These people don't have a chance. I don't blame them, because all six corporations that own 95%+ of the media are now owned by BlackRock, I understand. At least that's what I've been reading. So it's not hard to control 320 million people when you own the media. And 320 million people who are largely screen addicts. They're addicted to their screens. So we have a real problem over here in the West. And it's going to end up very tragically, I think, unfortunately, for an awful lot of people.
The West was built on a very solid foundation 2,000 years ago, with the evangelization of Europe, first and foremost by St. Paul, the Apostle Paul of Tarsus, with his Christianization of the West. But the building that was constructed on that foundation has been utterly corrupted. And now the West is suicidally spoiling for war with Russia. And it reminds me, just at the time just preceding the Second World War, when Pope Pius XII made his last appeal for peace, I remember his words exactly. I heard the discourse many times on an LP record. He said in Italian, how did he put that? Nulla si perde con la pace, tutto può essere con la guerra, which is to say, nothing is lost by peace, but everything can be lost with war. And we're in that situation now, but the West has become so in such a frenzied state of mind against Russia, and in such a fanaticism to oppose Russia, that they're willing to lose everything and undergo destruction in order to wage a suicidal war, a suicidal aggression that can only lead to war with Russia.
And this is where we're at. It can lead nowhere else. The amount of sanctions, they call them sanctions, that have been placed upon Russia, and now the turnabout is fair play beginning to manifest itself, the sanctions being put on the West by Russia, as it should. People here miss the point. Russia is not standing alone there. Russia has China, and Russia has India, at least in a neutral status, if not leaning toward Russia. So I don't know what the West thinks it's going to do except get itself destroyed, which is probably right. Going to end up happening. Is that off the mark, or am I on?
That's where everything is tending toward. The West is heading for self-destruction.
Well, I agree. I was informed about this several years ago, that we would be in this very kind of situation, that the world elite had decided, and I mean the global elite, had decided to pull the plug on the United States, and the U.S. was going to implode, and that included Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, the U.K., and you're in the U.K., so I don't know. Have you spent much time on the Deagle.com projections of the number of people who are supposed to be left in the world's countries by 2025, January 2025? Have you seen that? Deagle.com? You'd know if
no,
you
I,
had.
I know what is planned.
Yeah, okay. Well, what is planned matches up perfectly with the Deagle projections. I will send them to you, and you can make of them what you will. William Deagle was the Undersecretary of the Air Force under the Clinton administration, extremely deep state, very, very well connected, and he put out a forecast, which I first saw in 2017. It's 2022 now, and it was first published, I believe, in 2013, and it forecasts, beginning in 2013, what the world, each country in the world, all of them listed, what their populations are, what their GDP is, where they're going to be in 2025. And my God, they're going to be, instead of 77 million people in the UK, for example, I think it's down to 17 million, 16, 17 million. Now, how's that going to happen in the next 2.5 years? They're trying with the shots. They'll get rid of a lot of people, but a war will make sure. And that's just one country. They're all the same. The U.S. is supposed to end up with 99 million by January of 2025 out of 325 million people. What? A lot of people gone.
This has been planned for a long time. I remember back in the 90s, I was able to get a hardcover original edition of the report from Iron Mountain.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they were discussing the various means for reducing the population and controlling food and war. War is considered to be an optimal means of reducing population.
Well, we must not forget the bioweapon injections that they're calling vaccines, which are clearly, through the spike protein, killing a lot of people already, and many more are going to suffer a very early end to an otherwise long and naturalish life. It's quite sad. When you add war into the fact that they have injected with this deadly toxic poison 4 billion people, Father Kramer, a war will make sure that the Deagle projected numbers seemingly will have a very good chance, a reasonable chance, of becoming fact. I don't see any other way for it to go at this point. I keep looking and watching this horror show of the illegal President Biden shooting his mouth off with his dead brain, trying to make sure he continues to read his teleprompter. When he said those things about Putin, by the way, the other day, but he must go, and for God's sakes, this man has to leave. He was reading his teleprompter. He wasn't just speaking extemporaneously. This was not an ad lib. This was scripted for him. And the White House, of course, tried to disavow it immediately. But if you watch the videos, he was reading the prepared script. This is all being done to incite war, nothing less.
That's right, and war is what he's going to get, because Vladimir Putin, the West loves to describe him as the former head of the KGB, but in fact, his career is as a military intelligence officer. Vladimir Putin is a soldier.
He's also a statesman and a diplomat.
He's a diplomat. But he is, above all, a soldier.
Right.
He is a military man, military intelligence. And you provoke a military man, a soldier, to war, a soldier is ready to fight. He's not bluffing. And when Russia responds, you have a leader who will be very decisive, a highly intelligent man, very knowledgeable man. But when he is provoked to the point that he decides to wage war, it's going to be a full commitment to the battle. and the West is going to be hit with something that it was not expecting.
The idea of what happened to the USS Donald Cook was very fortuitous that you mentioned that, because I think all of you out there would guess that there are some extraordinarily advanced weapons systems that both sides have, but especially Russia, that no one even talks about. And I think you're about to see some of that demonstrated when this degrades into what appears to be World War III. I don't see anyone talking in any other terms than conflict. Nowhere.
There is a unanimity of prophecy. It's not only in the message of Fatima and in the Third Secret, right, but in all of the most highly credible prophetic revelations, there is foretold this tremendous war that will break out, and it will be a war between Russia and the West, the former Soviet bloc and the West, roughly the former Soviet bloc and the West, Russia supported by China, Russia supported at first by China, but not for long. There will be this war. The West is going to lose this war very swiftly. It's going to be a dreadful loss for the West. And then things only go from bad to worse after that, and then things will become even very, very difficult for Russia,
well,
too.
Well, the West is going to lose militarily, and I've heard this before, very quickly and very decisively, because Russia is not going to withhold. They're going to flatten the adversary. This is a military man, you're right. And we have already the obvious plans being well implemented for a famine in the Western world. It's here. You can see it everywhere you look. Failed crops, higher fuel prices for delivery, fewer trucks delivering. I could go on, and most of you understand it. And now this avian flu, oh, how convenient. Tens of hundreds of millions of chickens gone. Go ahead.
This is something, this avian flu has been something that has been planned. I've heard long in advance that the next pandemic coming is the avian flu, and look what's coming.
It's right here. It's not in people. It's primarily with poultry, but that doesn't matter, because that's the contributor to the famine that has been formatted for our immediate future. So if we do see a war, which we will, I'm afraid, there's not going to be much to eat. You're going to see things, cannibalism, crime beyond measure, human beings acting subhuman. This is going to be horrific. Talk about the end times, the tribulations. I guess this is all forecast in the Bible to some degree. But now it's been forecast, let's say, in the last 50 to 100 years on, as you say, multiple platforms.
Well, gain of function has already been employed to weaponize the avian flu, so it's only a matter of
As soon as they're ready to release it, they will. Russia today has, as you know, taken charge of a number of the approximately 30 biological weapons laboratories that Hunter Biden, the Pentagon, I call it the Pentagram, and others have built in and around Ukraine during the last 8 years since the United States and its henchmen overthrew the legitimate government of Ukraine. We have been building these biological weapons labs. Well, here's a story today. Russia makes new allegations about U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine. Kiev, it seems, had plans to use the pathogens developed in the Pentagon and Hunter Biden facilitated funded biolabs to attack the Donbass and Russia itself. This from the mayor of Moscow. All right. Documents and other evidence from U.S. funded laboratories in Ukraine suggest that Kiev was planning to use drones to deploy the pathogens against the Donbass residents, as well as Russia itself. Now remember, time and time again, the charge is that the Russians are getting ready to use chemical weapons. And if they use chemical weapons, that's it. Well, who was in Ukraine with 30 biological weapons laboratories for the last 8 years building weapons? It wasn't the Russians. So, come on. Anyhow, I think most all of you get it, or you wouldn't be out there listening. You're very wise. This is a very great audience, Father. They're very smart. So, go ahead. We have about 4 minutes left is all. Let's kind of wrap it up here. What's our time frame? A lot of people would like to know. What's our time frame on this? We're getting close. We may be weeks away.
My own belief is that there will be the beginning of world war by the end of this year. That's my gut feeling. I'm not a prophet, but I've been analyzing prophecy for a long, long time, and it seems that by the end of this year, the world may be in a state of war. We're in the end game now, and we're reaching the checkmate point where only a divine intervention can save the human race. And that will come about when enough people will repent and return to God, observe the divine commandments, and there will move God to show mercy to what remains of the human race and save us. Uh-huh. And that's why Our Lady of Fatima was sent by God to give us this great warning, as she said, that only she can help you, because she is the last help that God is giving us to save us from ourselves.
Well, the message was very clear, and thanks to you, a lot of people are listening right now, and they're perceiving it even more clearly. This was a clear warning to straighten up. And what did we do? We had World War I, we had World War II, we had the Korean War, the Vietnam War, every war you can think of. And look who was behind each and every one of those wars. The same people. Same profiteering ghouls were behind each war. And here we are. And they are running the show now. The United States no longer has a government. We don't have a representative government here of the people, by the people, for the people. No. We have a fascist government with a communist ethos, which is a very strange mixture, but that's what it is. Go ahead.
It's not a strange mixture when you consider that the same people who created fascism created communism.
Well, I know who they are, and so do you, and so does everyone listening. And it is very strange, but they're very clever. Very clever. Look at that little Zelensky, that little dupe, that little appointed puppet. I had the video of him packing his nose with cocaine, and the cocaine had worn off, and he kept going to his nose. And I mean, these people live in a world of prostitution, of drugs, of money, of they're just bought and paid for, pawns and dupes. This little guy runs around asking for a no-fly zone over Ukraine. He's saying exactly this. He's asking for World War III. And the American people don't seem to be able to connect the dots and figure this guy out. And he's just an extension of the ethos that is pushing all the world into a massive conflagration. And it's very sad. Very sad.
Well, before becoming a so-called politician, you're talking about a man who was an actor and comedian.
A perverted comedian at that.
So he's acting. He's only role playing as he's a puppet in the hands of his masters.
As are most political so-called leaders, puppets. That's what they are. That's why they're put in office, and that's how they get there. They play the game, and my God, I don't know how, excuse the expression, I don't know how you look at the alleged president of these formerly United States. He is not in charge of anything, but he is at least the visible mouthpiece of this country. And what a tragedy. What we had even just 50, 60 years ago here was a shining light of a country. And now we have hell on earth. It's collapsing around us all the time. We Americans see it, those who look. It must look terrible to you.
Although I don't agree with all of his politics, but I compare John F. Kennedy to the empty shell of a man who is in the White House now, and what a contrast.
Well, it's beyond black and white. It's beyond diabolically opposite. It's beyond this thing in the White House now is a disgrace to humankind, really. When you think about it. So there we go. Father Kramer, thank you for getting up. You've reached a lot of people with your very important message. I hope to talk to you again next month if your schedule permits. We look forward to that. And we shall see what happens, my friend. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night. Father Paul Kramer. Okay. Wow. I think we better take a break. We'll come back with another hour. Hang on.